Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And this past weekend, probably six people watched, but it was a historic moment for a couple of reasons, not the least of which we will get into in a couple minutes. We will talk about Conor McGregor and perhaps what he has up his sleeve and how Ken was dead to rights on what they were going to do with him. Plus,
more the title that he currently holds.
Right. Yes. Well, all of that stuff. And then we'll talk a little bit about Fabricio Werdum wants to join Ronda Rousey, perhaps, maybe, kind of, sort of. Somehow, some way, Crow Cop is back. And, we'll go from there. But we'll start with UFC 222, or as we call it, the buy rate of 50,000.
Do we have an official buy rate on that yet?
I have not seen one yet, so I don't actually know. But I will tell you that if you missed it, Brian Ortega knocked out Frankie Edgar for the first time in Frankie's career. It was a star-making moment for Brian Ortega, even if not a lot of people watched it. And I will say this. If you haven't watched it, you can find it online. But one of the most interesting parts of that fight to
me... I don't think you should be telling people to go find fights for free online.
I didn't say for free. I said you can find it online.
Okay.
How and what you do is on you. I'm just telling you it's out there. The interesting part is at about a minute 29 left in the first round, Brian Ortega's body language changes because he figures out that Frankie can't actually hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he absolutely unloads with the elbow and then the upper hook, the uppercut that ends up ending the fight. Just a spectacular performance from Brian Ortega. Him against Max Holloway is super interesting. I don't know that I've seen that booked yet, but I would love to see that happen sooner than later.
So I have a question for you as somebody who didn't steal the fight.
I didn't steal the
so
fight.
So I didn't see it.
Okay.
Did you order on Amazon? Did you end up doing that?
I ended up not doing that. No,
you
I just
didn't do that
I went straight through YouTube.
Turn
yeah.
your receipt in here yeah. at these palatial
We didn't do that either. No, didn't
so,
do that at all.
Was this the night that Frankie got old? We always talk about that with fighters. And if he can't hurt a guy in a fight the way you say it went down, that is one of those telltale signs to me. That's the time you got to know, okay, I got to hang it up. There's two things. It's not being able to hurt your opponent, and it's losing your chin. And that happens very quickly to fighters. And we've been saying for Frankie, he's the guy you never count out. But he's now at that point where he couldn't fight and hurt a guy in that division. Is that it for Frankie Edgar? Was his night getting old Saturday night?
Well, okay, so I want to be very clear. I'm not going to call him chinny because he got knocked out once in 28 fights. So I'm not going to say that.
No, but I'm saying the two things that happen is you lose your chin or you can't hurt other people. And you said he didn't hurt him.
Well, I think Brian just figured out what his, to your point, what his threshold of pain was and that he could handle that. And it was time for him to do his game plan. So, yeah, I think... Overall, that's what you'll remember from UFC 222 is I think eight fighters in their mid-20s won their fights.
Mm.
So you've got Brian Caraway gets put away by local boy Cody Stamann, who's won three in a row in the UFC. 24 years old, right? You have Sean O'Malley putting on the spectacular performance against Andrei Sukhmetov. He's 23. Looks a lot like and throws a lot like a Conor McGregor. He's a star in the making. You have Brian Ortega, right? So the whole night was what you say, Ken. It was just people in the sport passing it on to this younger generation, which, again, and I'm not going to do this again because we've done this for 3 weeks in a row, but as you're rebuilding this sport, if you're telling me what we're rebuilding is 20-somethings and watching them grow into that next flock of Titos and Vitors and Icemans and Rich Franklins and Anderson Silva's, we're going to have to wait a little bit, but I'm okay with that because there were some spectacular performances on Saturday night. But yes, I would say that the interesting thing is with Max Holloway, who said to Frankie, and I totally agree, like, Frankie didn't need to take this fight. He took it to save the card. Mm-hmm. He had nothing to prove, and then literally gets relegated to a different part of the universe
right.
because of this loss. One or two more wins, he could be back in contention, because it's not like that particular division is deep.
But now, does he have those wins in him after what you saw Saturday night?
And
that's far from saying he's done.
Yeah.
Can he get the wins in the division where he needs to get
them? So let me answer though that question in two parts. One, yes, I think he can, because I think he can beat all the people who aren't named Brian Ortega.
Really?
Right?
So in summary, your answer is no. That's not the night he necessarily got old. He just got into it with a guy who was that much better than him.
I think he begins to join the ranks of Lyoto and Vitor and all these guys that we've been talking about who have gotten old and perhaps need to take smarter fights. Mm. Frankie has always been the guy, just like Cowboy Cerrone has always been the guy, just like, Lieben was right. Like, these guys just would take fights that were not necessarily in their best interest, but did it for the sake of the sport, did it for the sake of the fight, did it for whatever. Frankie's always been that guy. I think Saturday night becomes
last night's when you stole it.
Right. Saturday night becomes that night where perhaps he needs to think a little bit harder about taking fights.
Yeah. I see what you're saying there. I'm going to try to watch it this weekend after I order UFC TV and then put my pay-per-view dollars down. So I will see and let you know what I think about that later. Speaking of thinking about taking fights, does anybody want to think about taking a fight against Cyborg at this point?
Look, on Saturday night, I literally texted a buddy of mine who I knew was watching, and I said, I'm done. And you can send me all the emails and Facebook messages you want to. I'm done having the conversation of what that fight between Ronda and Cyborg would be like.
Oh,
she would destroy Ronda Rousey in her first fight, her 10th fight, her 12th. Cyborg is something that is honestly somebody to, in my mind, admire as far as the sport goes. Yes, she's had her issues. Everybody's had their issues. But what I would say is, when you watch that fight and see that she gives up her back, drags Kunzinskaya on her back to the cage to stand up, to throw her down, to then beat her, right?
I did see that. She basically picked her up to throw her down again, right?
Yes.
That's almost like, you know, your Ronda Rousey mention is appropriate. It's almost like a WWE type of thing where you let you don't see that in MMA usually.
Right. And so I walk away from that going, I know that Kunzinskaya took it on short notice, but so did Cyborg. And I don't think the Megan Anderson fight is much more interesting. I think Cyborg destroys her too. The Amanda Nunes fight, slightly more interesting. It will be bananas if they do it in Brazil, which is what Luke Thomas was talking about this week. Is that, I think that's June or July or whatever. That would be bananas to watch, but I don't think anyone beats her. Here's what's interesting.
Even Nunes.
Here's what's interesting though. I do think she's lost a bit of her power because of her age.
Mm-hmm.
But she certainly hasn't lost a step or two, at least in the competitive nature, because she was from the bell all over Kunzinskaya. And it was a mismatch is an understatement. And I just think the rest of the division, any of the divisions she wanders into, is a mismatch by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think anyone beats her.
Yeah, I don't know what you do at this point. I mean, and this doesn't look either like it's obviously 2020 hindsight, but I think if you go back through the podcast and go dig them out when Ronda Rousey was on her streak, I think the last couple of fights, you and I had discussions like, yeah, Ronda's probably going to win, but this thing didn't look good. Betch Carrera fight comes to mind, which is kind of insane because she beat Betch literally in 30-something seconds. But even in that fight, when she got popped, you were like, whoa.
But the first 25 seconds, you learned something, right?
You really did, and it was interesting, because I think I was one of the few people saying, let's rematch it. I'll watch that rematch again, because I think Betch knows she missed an opportunity to be the one to dethrone Ronda back then. When you see Cyborg's fights, you don't see any of that. You don't see any of that where you go, oh, this is probably what somebody could do. Oh, this is probably what somebody could do. Can somebody clinch her? Yeah, maybe. Can somebody sub her? Yeah, maybe. I don't see that. I don't know what somebody else can do to her at this point.
And I don't either, because again, with Yana Kunzinskaya, you know, a kickboxing background, you thought, at least I thought, okay, well, maybe this will be competitive, because remember, Cyborg's only loss is in a traditional Muay Thai kickboxing bout, right? So I get it that that's not what we did on Saturday night, but even then, Kunzinskaya had nothing for her.
Right.
She gives up her back and feels no threat at all with an opponent on her back as she crawls from the middle of the octagon to the wall to throw her off, to pick her up, to
throw her down again.
To throw her down again.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you do? I mean, you talk about the fact that you don't see anybody beating her. That can hurt her ability to draw. Just ask DJ. I mean, Demetrius Johnson might be the best pound-for-pound fighter in UFC history
at this point. Without a doubt.
History? Wow.
Without a doubt.
Over GSP.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, look, we can argue all day, and I will take the arguments that has he faced the same amount of competition as GSP? No. Mm-hmm. Is he the best fighter? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's not his fault that there just weren't better fighters. I still think he would have beat them. He just hasn't had the opportunity.
And I do think this is interesting, too, because I want to see Cyborg do well. I don't know if having her headline shows is the way to do that, though. I mean, it's tough. I mean, how is she, you know.
Even the Brazil card?
I mean, she's going to do great. She'll do great in the arena, but the UFC always does great selling out an arena. They only
except last week.
Okay.
They didn't do very well then either.
Where
no.
were they?
Vegas.
But
I think really? they were only like a million.
Actually, Vegas is a dumb place to have that fight. Because I mean,
I think it was Vegas. Hang on.
It's a great fight town, but they can only take so much. And if you're not giving them an A-level fight, they're not going to buy in. You got to put that thing in like Portland or something and basically sell it on the UFC's coming to town. Anyhow, I just think
this is Vegas.
An interesting dynamic. You know, she has a lot of trouble drawing money. You could hand her a green crayon and cardboard paper, and she's not going to be able to draw money. So what do you do with her? I mean, she's the top female fighter in the world. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying what is. Happy International Women's Day, everybody. So what do you do?
And I don't know, because on that same card, they make the debut of Mackenzie Dern, who did win her fight against Yoder, but her striking and wrestling were awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you look at Mackenzie Dern, and...
Now, was that the fight set up basically like hoping like somebody wins well, and then they'll just put her in there? Because if you're already like Cyborg, you're already buying this card,
like, and
here's
you,
maybe her next opponent.
You heard leading up to this fight, is she the next Ronda Rousey? Is she the... Right? Mm. She's not, because no. here's the thing. If you can't actually get the fighter to the ground to do the thing you're amazing at... You're not amazing at the other parts of the game, right?
That is true.
Her striking, she puts her head down and swings above her head. I mean, it's not good.
She might be like Ronda.
Not good.
She is the next Ronda Rousey.
So to your point, what you have to do with Mackenzie Dern is you have to slow that roll down, and much like you did with Sage Northcutt, right? You tried to push him to the stars,
mm-hmm.
and he got beat terribly. And you're like, whoa, we need to find somebody that... is at his or below his level so we can start building up incrementally.
Uh-huh.
You've got to do that too. And I promise we wouldn't do this, but the story just presents itself, right? They're trying to push these people as fast as they can to build stars.
Yeah, to kick that dead horse, but I mean, that's why this is all happening.
But if you push Mackenzie Dern into a fight above her pay grade right now, because she is not ready for UFC level fighters, she's going to get waxed
mm-hmm.
bad.
Because
she won that fight by a split decision,
well,
right?
Here's a real problem with the women's division, and I'm not trying to really bag on the women's division at this point. The women's division is still evolving, still becoming a thing in MMA.
Totally.
You still got a lot. I mean, this
they're what, 10 years behind?
Oh, more than that.
Okay.
More than that. I mean, if you go back to 93.
I just don't remember. Like, Histronics, like, did they...
Well, I mean, Strikeforce, I mean, mid-2000s. Mid-aughts, I should say.
Yeah.
Like, around 05, 06, 07. I mean, that's almost 15 years.
Yeah, so 15 years behind.
Really? I mean, so you still got a lot of people like Ronda was the judo expert. You've got people that were the striking experts. You got a couple of wrestlers here and there. So, I mean, women's MMA is just not evolved. And you talk about UFC-level fighters in women's MMA, there's not a lot of them. There really aren't. And you've got a lot of women in this division that know one or two things but are going to get mauled by somebody like Cyborg. Let's not forget... Cyborg, not only is she big and bad and been fighting for a long time, but she's one of those people that trained with men initially. I mean, that was the gym in Brazil she rolled in. I mean,
she was shooting box, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was training real deal MMA back in the early 2000s, which is the genesis of women's MMA. And, you know, you saw for years, depending on where you are in your skill set. I mean, the Gracies ran UFC for 5 to 10 years. I think we're right at that point with Cyborg. Cyborg's going to do what she wants at this point for the next couple of years. And I think it's just that experience level and where she is. And yes, age is going to catch up to her, and that will That will probably be the thing before skill that's going to catch her.
And the interesting part is I think the only person who's competitive with her is Holly Holm, and age will catch up to her, too. So it's not like,
well, I mean,
as much as I would like to see that rematch, and I totally would, I mean, that one could go either way age-wise, right?
Right. Well, and two, Holly's the one who now everybody's talking about whether or not she's going to retire. She's denying the retirement rumors, but you never know. So that's an interesting dynamic you have to look at with women's MMA in general. I mean, I think that's why we really thought Joanna Jędrzejczyk was going to be as dominant as she is, as she was for so long. I mean, she obviously ran into Rose Namajunas, and we're going to see that fight again. So that'll be cool, but I mean, those one, two, three, maybe on one hand. Like, if you really look at women's MMA, you can say, okay, these are well-rounded MMA fighters. And that's not a knock against the women. That's just where the development is in the sport at this point.
And I mean, you know, as long as we're talking about that, I would say real quickly, I think Rose beats JJ 8 times out of 10.
Oh, really?
8 times out of 10.
So if you're Dana and we're in this weird cycle where we've talked about having to do business and draw some money, you're really hoping like one of those 2 out of 10 times is
of
next
course
time.
I mean,
you want to get a trilogy out of it.
So as a fan, I would love to see those two fight 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if you get waxed 2 times in a row, if you're Jędrzejczyk, you're not getting a third fight with Rose Namajunas.
Did you happen to hear any of her talk to Joe Rogan, Thug Rose?
Yes.
I was listening to that, and I was thinking, man, nobody's going to beat this chick.
Nope.
She is, like, the chillest dude in the room, even though she's a chick. Like, she's, like, not fazed by any of it. And that is – and, again, when you're in women's MMA, that puts you leagues ahead of most of your competition. Not all of them, but most of them. Like, there's so many dudes in UFC that have dealt with listening to Conor, and he still gets inside their head. But Joanna Jędrzejczyk was trying to run some of that game, and Rose Namajunas just wasn't having any of it.
No, I mean, and that's one of my favorite moments in women's MMA is when
that stare down?
Is when that stare down, and she's just reciting the Lord's Prayer as JJ's going nuts.
Right. Yeah, I mean, she's Joe Rogan, what's going on? What was in your head? And she's like, oh, not really anything. I just knew I need to be calm, and that was going to make her angrier, you know? So her mental game is on point, which I think is a big thing with Joanna, because I think so many women walked in there just waiting to have...
I mean, I think it's the same thing with Ronda, right? Like you,
right.
And Ronda loses as soon as somebody figures out you just have to bully her.
And keeps losing.
You know, and you can't bully her if you're scared of her. If mm-hmm. you're scared of JJ, you walk in scared of what's happening. Like, think of the heavyweight division in the, you know, to use your word, in the early aughts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people were scared of a guy like Randy Couture and what he could do to them. And mm-hmm. when you walk into the ring scared of Randy Couture, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into the ring scared of Brock Lesnar, you lose. When you walk in and you're Cain Velasquez and you go, nah, I got this.
I'm just as big.
I mean, you're a big dude, but I'm faster and stronger and blah, blah, blah. Right? Like,
right.
You change the game because you're actually in the game and we're gonna fight.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win by me being terrified for my life,
right?
Not wanting to be in there. And then the game is over.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I don't know if Rose is going to lose anytime soon. I mean, I know we kind of gotten on a general topic about women's MMA, but it's going to be interesting to kind of see how these things play out. I really think I would really like if the UFC somehow could figure out a way to get somebody like Chris Cyborg onto cards with bigger fights. I mean, I think it's only fair to her at this point, and they're trying to build the sport too. I mean, you know, if they didn't sell out in Vegas, that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign because usually they price those things in a way that, you know, Vegas is their home base. It doesn't cost them a lot for production costs compared to traveling. So it's going to be really interesting to kind of see how that plays out. And I feel kind of bad. I mean, this really does go back to DJ. And you talk about how the fact that DJ was on these cards and never could seem to catch a break. I mean, how cool would it be to have Chris Cyborg on Fox right now? I think that'd be a really cool fight.
It'd be awesome. I mean, I think
that'd be a destination. That'd be an appointment viewing.
To your point, you've got to put her with somebody who helps draw that, because again, the fan part of me, when I'm watching that fight on Saturday, I'm going, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're thinking to yourself, they both take this fight on short notice. One's an Invicta champion, the other's a UFC champion, but it looks like one is the UFC champion and the other is not supposed to be there.
Oh, it's like Brawl right. for All or something.
Right? Like, it
one
was
those tough man contests where they were pulling people out of the crowd.
They just pull people out of the crowd. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't quite that level,
no.
but certainly was a mismatch.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is a draw. You have to put her with somebody else that will draw accordingly. You know, mm-hmm. and I don't know is that, you know, do you do something at 185? You know, does
whoa.
No, not with her. Like, do you bring Whitaker and the champion to
Fox?
Gotcha, right?
Gotcha.
Is 185 or is it? Because, like, I say 205, except there's nothing going on there right now since the 205 champ is now a heavyweight. So,
oh, that's true. I totally forgot about that. That's interesting. Yeah, what do you do there?
Right.
I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting setup as we kind of move forward here to see what happens there. I say Fox just because I think you might be able to have her carry that alone. But, I'll be honest. I'm not 100% sure if that's going to be the case in that regard. Because
I think if you look at UFC 222, and like I said, I think there's 8 fighters under 26 years old on that card, and all of them won. You need to get those guys on Fox too, but you need to put people that will draw eyeballs. And I just think, as much as I love Cyborg, I think you need to put her with something else.
But
at the top of that card,
I feel like here's the
and maybe she can be the top of the card, but somebody else needs to.
But I do feel like there's one gimmick that seemed to work for CBS back in the Strikeforce Elite XC days, and that's having women fight at the top of the card because it is so unique. I certainly think that women on a card on Fox could be a strategy they go forward with. And again, we don't know. I mean, we've got a lot going on with the Fox and UFC and WWE.
Yeah.
As we go into 2019. But I certainly think that could be at least interesting as they move forward and try to think about these things. Because, I love the fact that we've got Nama Junis and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. But it's happening on a card most of us were probably already going to buy. Can I say that?
Well, yeah. I mean, because it's got the best fight of the year on the top of it, which is Ferguson.
But still, it's just fighters. I mean, is there...
Hang on, I have to knock on wood to make sure neither of them are injured. So,
actually, according to sources, maybe you do want one of those guys injured. I'm not sure. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. Speaking of 223, what do we got? That's next week, right? No, wait.
April 7th.
So we're taking a big – this is a big gap, right?
Yeah, we've got an –
Because we had two in February,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we've got an FS1 card on the 17th with Verdum, I believe, and then you –
Wait, did we have two February and then one to start March, right?
Yeah.
Do I have that right?
I believe you have that right. I will look that up as you're talking.
Oh, my God. See, there's just not enough ingredients for the damn cookie.
Nope.
There's not to do this, so at least we got a big gap here. So speaking of 223, Ferguson and Khabib, this past week news broke that – Dana White essentially said in an interview, Conor McGregor will be stripped of the title as soon as a punch is thrown in this fight between Khabib and Ferguson, which is exactly what we told you a couple weeks back when we started postulating, why don't they just strip him now? What is going on? And I suppose that, hey, Dana can't afford, like you mentioned, with the 205 division being what it is, with 145 being what it is, with the way they've had situations happen with John Jones in the past, whether or not Conor's coming back. They couldn't afford to say Conor's stripped and then, God forbid, something happened to this fight.
Yep.
And now you've got either the interim champ out or the guy who was going to fight the interim champ out, and we don't know what to do. Because at least keeping the belt on Conor until the fight actually happens means Conor McGregor is still your champ. Whether or not he's going to come back and fight soon, and we're going to figure any of that out, I don't know. There's a lot of people guessing that he's sitting in the wings for this fight. If one of these guys goes out, I think that'd be a really strange plan if the guy's actually coming back to basically have him be your backup, but... Maybe that's what he wants to do now. He's told the UFC, hey, I'll come fight one of these guys if the other one falls out. Or I want the winner of one of these guys. There's been a lot more rumblings about Conor in the last couple of weeks, which is saying a lot, than we've seen in the past couple months. And there's been a lot of talk in the past couple months. So I'm very curious to kind of figure out what might be happening at this point with Conor McGregor as we move forward. Do you think he's waiting in the wings? That's the big popular theory right now.
Well, so... Do I think technically? Yes, I think technically. I don't think Conor's waiting for anything. I think they have a plan for Conor. And he also understands that Nurmagomedov does have a problem making it to fight day. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity for him to defend his belt and silence the critics and then go do whatever he was actually going to go do.
What do you think that was?
Well, I think you were pulling it up. Like, I mean, the GSP-Conor thing is the thing that makes the most sense for both men.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, isn't that GSP's coach who's kind of calling for that right now?
Yeah.
So that'll be... Well, so wait. I think you might have called this months ago. As soon as there was a money fight, GSP's tummy was going to get better.
Yep.
So wait. Now that his coach wants the fight with Conor McGregor, let me see what I saw earlier. Quote, feeling a lot better, end quote.
Yep.
Good God. Are you serious? Feels great whenever there's a lot of money on the line.
Yep. Well,
hey, you want me to defend that belt against some nobody, as far as I'm concerned?
Against some nobody who's giant and going to hurt me?
Right. Oh, tummy.
Yep.
I think I got Brock disease. The diverticulitis is flaring up. He doesn't have diverticulitis. That's a very serious disease, by the way.
He has ulcerative colitis, though. It seems just as...
Heartburn. His heartburn is better now.
It's not...
Are you sure? Because he says...
Okay, fine.
Whatever. Now, here's an interesting thing. GSP's coach, Faraz Sahabi, right?
Correct.
He does say one thing, though, that I think is kind of insane, but I'll ask you the question, because I think we're getting into gaps in eras here. He says that the fight between GSP and Conor would be bigger than Conor Mayweather.
No.
That's insane.
That's absolutely insane.
I don't know if... Well, the only people I think that could make a fight bigger than Conor Mayweather in a boxing ring would be Conor and Mayweather in a UFC cage.
Yes, I would say... So I would say... I'll take it a different direction. GSP Conor would be bigger than anything else boxing could do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that.
Right.
It's not bigger than Mayweather Conor.
No.
It's not.
No. I mean, and especially at this point, we talked a little bit about Canelo Alvarez on the Facebook page. And there's dirty cows. And
apparently.
There's cows doing steroids in Mexico.
The cows were taking dick pills. Then you ate the cow, and then you got tainted.
You know what's the most ridiculous thing about that? Still a better defense than John Jones was able to lay out in front of the CSAC. I feel like John Jones was sitting at home and heard Canelo tested positive. Yeah, there's dirty cows in Mexico. And John Jones was like, damn, why didn't I think of that?
Where are my people?
Dirty Mexican cows. Great idea. So I don't think it would be that big. I think it'd be pretty big. I think that we've got this weird gap from the GSP era. Yes, he was one of the best fighters of all time. But those of us who watched it live, so to speak, saw that he was falling off and falling off quickly. And that's why he retired. And yes, he came back at an opportune moment. And I'm not taking a thing away from Bisping, but I have a lot of people think he cherry-picked his way into that title shot. Knew it would be a decent fight. But wasn't, you know, particularly... impressive is the wrong word, because it was very impressive, because I picked the guy to lose. I just didn't think he had been active enough long enough. But, I mean, I don't think he showed anything that night that's going to make people want to clamor to see a GSP fight. Obviously, a GSP-Conor fight would be huge. But would you pay just for a GSP fight at this point? I know you'd pay for it, but to rest a lot of money on that, I think we're a little bit past the GSP era. I'm really curious to see when he fights a younger guy, a stronger guy, like you said, a bigger guy, if he's going to seem as impressive, especially if he's trying to fight at 185, which obviously wouldn't be the Conor fight, but still.
Okay, so here's what I would say. Bisping and GSP was the biggest pay-per-view of 2017, but didn't even do a million pay-per-view buys. The next highest would have been Amanda Nunes and Ronda Rousey in December of 2016. The reason they might be thinking this is that this paragraph, according to MMAfighting.com, the makeup of the buys was different from other major shows that in the Canadian numbers were so high. Dana White claimed the show, which took place at MSG, broke the record set by Floyd and Connor and was the biggest pay-per-view event ever in Canada. So that might be what they're talking about.
So they're hoping on the America's Hat theory of making money,
yes,
which is get every single person in Canada to watch and maybe he'll make some money.
Yeah. So maybe that's what he actually means, is that it will be bigger because it already was bigger in Canada than Mayweather and McGregor.
Gotcha. And probably up there, everybody's slapping each other on the back. And
sure.
You know.
Which is fine. But
no,
like,
it was huge. Like you said, it was the biggest. And again, I feel weird because I feel like I'm...
arguing both sides?
No, not arguing both sides. But I mean, like you said, it was the biggest pay-per-view ever. He was very impressive. I still don't think that's enough to kind of garner enough new fan support to really let him drive
a pay-per-view
in a way that his coach would say he's bigger than the Mayweather Conor.
He's not driving it. It's Conor driving it.
But that's what I mean. I mean, the problem is, if you want to be bigger than Mayweather and Conor, you've got to have another partner like Mayweather. And there's nobody like that.
Well, Conor's not only
the guy like that.
Not only there's no one like that. I mean, George still has a little bit of a gap in his English. And somebody who talks as fast as Conor is going to blow right by him.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, and I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about in general.
But
I mean,
that's how you sell. That's how you get to those numbers.
Because
you can't blow by that.
So many. Well, no. You can blow by it slightly, simply because, I mean, Mayweather built up 20 something years of an undefeated career to get to that moment.
Yep.
That was a storm that hit perfectly, as people say. He got 20 years. He got to 49-0. He wanted to make 50-0 a big deal, and he took the hottest guy in MMA, and they lifted each other up. that's there's no other fighter out there right now. And as much as I want to see the Diaz Connor fight again, that fight won't even be that big. I mean, it's
but that
once in a lifetime almost.
That fight will do a million pay-per-view buys.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I'd argue with the audience set the way it is now and knowing Connor's history and following Connor the way they have, I'd argue that's a bigger fight than GSP Connor.
Perhaps, yes.
Buy rates?
Buy rates, 100%. I mean, like, the fan in me would much rather see GSP. But
Yes, and there's older guys like us that saw GSP that just want to see that fight to see it, and we know we'll probably get Diaz, Connor. If Connor's back in a cage, we know we'll probably get Connor Diaz at some point. Again, so yes, of course, if A is the GSP fight, B is Diaz for guys like us. But I think in general, for the MMA audience as it is now, they remember that, that's the guy that was able to beat Connor once, and Connor's trying to get up on him 2-1 instead of being even with him. And Connor doesn't like walking around being even with anybody. So, I mean, you've seen him on Twitter. You know, he's still firing back at Mayweather, and there's no chance in hell that fight ever even happens.
No.
Inside a cage.
No.
Because Mayweather
no
would be murdered.
But again, those guys are friends, and they know how to make money. So if like you said last week, if Connor knows something that this, maybe the CM Punk thing has some legs to it, right? Connor's probably trying to help that along, and more power to you.
Oh, for sure. For sure. More power to him.
All right. Other couple interesting notes this week. You had the announcement of Roy Nelson has a new dance partner at Bellator 200, and that is Crow Cop.
What is going on? Is this part of that tournament? What the hell's happening?
Well, it's not part of the tournament. Well, maybe it's part of the alternates because that would make sense. I'm sort of mesmerized by Bellator's ability to do the senior division we've been telling people to do for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't even know Crow Cop would even be interested in being back in Bellator.
I feel like I saw him in a fight not too long
ago. Well, he's been fighting. I just didn't think he wanted to get into this.
Right, but not like in Bellator or UFC
No, it's...
In like weird Japanese promotions.
Correct.
With those, I mean, and he's huge in Japan.
Not even Ryzen. I mean, like, crazier than that.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. It's interesting. So, he's going to fight Roy Nelson. Let's see. I'm trying to see if this is part of that tournament or not. Doesn't look like it.
I didn't see that, but I didn't want to speak.
Well, isn't Roy in the tournament, or did
he
get knocked out?
No, he got lost to Mitrione, so he's out.
Oh, that's right.
But they do need alternates.
So how freaking ridiculous is this? The fact that Roy lost means he's able to be more active and make more money than these guys that are having to wait until like July for this tournament to be over.
Roy will have four.
Like Mitrione has no idea who his opponent is and won't know for another, 2 or 3 months? I think 2 months.
2 months, May, right? Because it ends in June.
Right. But wait, are they going to jump right there? So one guy gets like a 4-week camp and the other guy gets like, well, I guess he doesn't technically have a camp where he's preparing for a dude, but he could be working out. I don't know.
I'd have to look it up, but I mean, it ends pretty quickly once it gets to that
semifinal point. Hmm.
But yes, you do have to wait forever, and Roy will probably fight 3 or 4 times this year, and Mitrione will fight once, if not twice. I mean, I think it was you who said when they launched this thing that we don't see the end of it till 2019.
Well, I think I might have been joking. I don't know.
But you
at
might
this point.
Turn out to be like most things this year that you've said. You might
right,
turn
exactly.
out to be right.
Just be dead on, and then we're going to have a 67-year-old Fedor at some point fighting in this thing. So I'm just these matchups are kind of crazy right now.
Because when is the Fedor fight? Is that in April?
Hold on, I got to look that up real quick.
Okay.
So let's see. Got the poster. It's on the Paramount Network, by the way. So let's see. Let's see. We're still talking about January here. What's going on here? Yeah, see, we don't have it laid out. Let's see. 16th, we had, obviously, Mitrione and Nelson, so Mitrione won that. Title fight in December. There we go.
Told you. 2019.
There you go.
You're going to be totally right.
Yep. I forgot. It's 2018, so all we got to do is have one fighter, like, twist an ankle.
Push this, it 2 weeks out,
and this sumbitch is going to be in 2019. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, and then one last thing before we go, as we don't, there's Bellator this weekend, but we don't have a UFC till St. Patrick's Day. It was announced this week that UFC 225, which is in Chicago, you get Alistair Overeem and Curtis Blaydes is on that card, so that card's starting to shape up, which is fun if you want to go check out a card in Chicago. That is June 9th if you're looking to do that at the United Center.
So that one's going on, and then we may be seeing Fabricio Werdum in a WWE ring if things go according to his plans.
Yeah, what's interesting about that story, and I'm glad you brought that up, is he wants to do both at the same time, just like the inverted Brock, we'll call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning Brock works for the WWE, comes to the UFC, they want to do the other thing.
Right, he wants to work for UFC and have appearances in WWE.
And I mean, it's fascinating because if you rewind the clock 8 years, you've got Josh Barnett, who's been doing that at that point for probably a decade, right?
In Japan.
In Japan, been waffling between the two organizations. It's funny to me that now all of these guys are kind of going, that seems like a lot of fun. I'd like to do that, because to what you just said, I'm not busy enough. I'm a heavyweight, so I get maybe two fights a year, and mm-hmm. I sit around looking for stuff to do
right.
all year long.
And it gets expensive. You've got camps, you've got family, you've got bills, you've got all these things. It, you know, it's interesting. I don't think everybody can do this.
And not everyone can own a toy store like Junior Dos Santos.
Is that what Junior Dos Santos yes, does?
He owns a toy store.
Wow, that's funny. So, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting, but I don't think...
So, let me... You watch it right now way more than I do, mm-hmm. But we both obviously have decades of consumption of the WWE.
Is he going to paint his face? That's what I want to know.
Now, that's not my question. My question is, like, when we're talking specifically about Ronda Rousey, her WrestleMania fight is a tag team match so that mm-hmm. they can hide some of this discrepancies. For these guys that want to do this, like, Verdum has no acumen in it. Like, what is the likelihood of this even making sense? Because Brock coming this way, easy.
The split...
Verdum going that way, not so much.
Right. Well, exactly. And Brock had a long time in WWE first, and yep. that's why a lot of that made sense. And Brock obviously had a great amateur background and was able to translate that to fighting. I don't know. I think the MMA guys think this is easier than it is. I mean, you're seeing a little bit of that with Ronda right now. She's still trying to gain her footing. You know, I love there's a lot of WWE fans going, man, Ronda was really good in the UFC on the mic. No, she wasn't. She was terrible.
She was awful.
She was not good at all. People think she had great trash talk because she was mainly able to back up things with her yeah, ass beatings.
Right.
And once yes. that was gone, like she...
when she talks and then they run the package, you
right,
forgot
exactly.
about what she said.
Exactly. So, I mean, she's doing okay, but she certainly looks like somebody new in the WWE.
Has she wrestled yet?
Okay. No, her debut will be at WrestleMania. She's obviously been running ropes and doing stuff with her friends that are also in WWE. I don't think it's as easy as people think. And, you know, Fabricio Werdum, there's a language barrier. I know he speaks English fairly well, but there's a lot of guys that speak fairly well that don't get over in WWE. I guarantee that he has no idea how hard that schedule is. And there's hard things about both of these gigs.
Yeah.
I just get the feeling sometimes MMA guys don't realize how hard that is. Because anybody who's done both, night and day, says WWE pro wrestling is 10 times harder on my body than any MMA was.
And just for context, the Rumble was in February, right? Or January.
January.
So January, February, March, April. So she doesn't wrestle for 4 months after making her debut. Just
right.
for context for guys who are like, well, I mean, how long does that take? If Verdum walks...
Well, here's the other thing. We know she's been in rings for about a year.
Yes. Been in for a year, still takes 4 months of more training before they get her in front of a camera doing something more than spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's running out and throwing people through tables, but that's about it right now.
Yeah. Well, she almost got knocked out by Stephanie McMahon. That was a bold move, letting her take that hit.
Stay away from her head. She's chinny.
Stay
away from her.
My favorite tweet about that was some dude was watching that at the bar, and his buddy's like, hey, she's an MMA fighter. Why didn't she just duck away from that slap? And he said if she could do that, she'd still be in the UFC. So that guy wins Twitter. But, I mean, it could definitely be fun. I don't see it happening. I see a guy like Cain Velasquez who might not be coming back to UFC and looking for something different as a guy who could do this. But there's not many people that are draws like Brock and Ronda. And I even think we're going to have an interesting dynamic here. And I don't want to break this down too much, but we've got our tertiary MMA connections. I told you this. Look, her first initial run is going to be as a face, somebody that people cheer. They're going to have to turn her quick. Because there's going to be something about her the crowd doesn't like. I mean, even in UFC, it took her a long time to get cheers. And she had to kick so much ass to get those cheers. But immediately, once she flaked out a little bit and took that loss, crowd was not behind her.
No.
There's something about her, and there's something about her personality that is going to rub some people the wrong way. And if you're somebody in WWE, you don't want to fight that. You want to work with it. And I think at some point she's going to have to stop coming out expecting people to cheer, because I don't think it's going to happen. You know, there's a whole dynamic that we could break down if we wanted to do a wrestling podcast of the fact that, you know, those crowds never like interlopers. They never like people that they feel like haven't paid their dues. You know, they do like superstars, and Ronda's a superstar, but that can only go so far if she doesn't either perform in the ring, doesn't work on the mic, or just doesn't have that connection to the audience.
And if I remember correctly, because we're not doing a wrestling pay-per-view podcast, but like if I remember correctly, when The Rock went to Hollywood and came back, they did the same thing to him.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, The Rock was one of the biggest stars on the planet, and he came back, and you know, initially, yeah, he's cheered. You know, you give him a couple weeks in the ring talking back and forth with a guy like John Cena who had been there, And you had mixed reactions at best, as their announcers often like to say, when the guy who they thought was supposed to be cheered isn't getting cheered.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened with The Rock. So, I mean, Ronda Rousey, yeah, she's going to get cheered probably through WrestleMania. They put her in the best situation they could. They put her next to Kurt Angle, who people love. They put her in a situation against two people that people always seem to hate, which is Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. So, yeah, it'll be a fun little ride. It'll be interesting to see what she looks like in the ring. I don't know. She's going to have to improve a lot, though, for that crowd to keep up the response that I think they're probably paying to get from her.
All right. As always, you can follow along on Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show. I misspoke. There isn't a Bellator until April. This weekend, you've got really nothing much at all.
No.
The next official.
I thought they did one every week. Wasn't that their gimmick?
There isn't even one this month. You've got one twice this month, Invicta this month, LFA twice this month, and then UFC Fight Night 127 is in London.
Stop making up words.
Is in London on St. Patrick's Day. So that'll
LMNOP
be
the. LMNOP is later this month.
That's all happening.
QRZ.
All right.
The GRR and the ABQ.
I am Eric Hulkrin. That guy who's still talking is Ken Evans.
The K-E-N.
And this is Way of the Warrior.